This week in Proverbs chapter 10, we actually starts the official kind of Proverbs. Chapters 1 to 9 is the foundation of Proverbs. And so it talks about some very specific themes about wisdom and pursuing wisdom and how foolishness tries to cry out to us. But in chapter 10 starts the official Proverbs. So if you're following this reading schedule, what you see is each verse is kind of its own standalone statement, or maybe it's two verses together. That can be overwhelming, because today we were reading the first 16 verses of chapter 10, and there's a number of different themes in there. So as you read Proverbs, so this is kind of logistical stuff. As you're reading Proverbs, read through the verses. So today it was verses 1 to 16, chapter 10. Read through all the verses, kind of get the big picture feel for it. Pause and say, God, out of these 16 verses, what do you want to say to me that you want me to act on? And then go back through and read them slowly, listening for what God might have you to focus on. Because you can't focus on, you know, if there's, in those 16 verses, if there's 12 different themes, you can't focus on 12 different themes in one day. You can hear them, but when you go to say, God, what do you want me to do with this today? He has something in mind. And so as I was reading through it today, this, you know, second or third time through, here's what I noticed was over and over he mentioned what comes from the lips, the words that speak, the words of foolishness and the words of wisdom. And so my takeaway was the importance of words and not listening to people who lie, not listening to people who are following the foolishness of this world. I went, oh, that's appropriate for our world, isn't it? I mean, okay, God, help me to act on that. Does that make sense? Because I don't want you to give up on what we're doing. And I don't want you to just kind of cursory do it because Pastor Herb told me to do it. I want you to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say to you. So I hope that helps. So open your outline and take a look. We've been talking about this statement that God gave to me a few weeks ago, that Christ followers do not face problems, they receive invitations. Christ followers do not face problems, they receive invitations. And I can't tell you the depth of impact that has had on me. It just keeps coming and playing on my mind over and over again, because I sense that it came from God himself. It's true, so I don't have problems anymore. I have things that look like problems. They're camouflaged as problems, but they're actually invitations. And as I look at the Bible, as I read the scriptures, and see the depth of that when God wants to work most, when he wants to do the miraculous, it looks like problems to the people that are involved, but in actuality, they're invitations to experience the miraculous work of God. It changes everything when we fully embrace this idea that God never has us just facing stuff because that's the way life is. He always has a purpose behind it. The full formula I put there in your outline for you is because of who Jesus is, all that he is. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. And because of what it means to follow Christ, Christ followers do not face problems. They receive invitations to be with Christ, to experience that intimacy with Christ, and to work alongside Christ, to live our lives as partners with God in what he's doing. So I had all kinds of plans on taking the life of Paul in the book of Acts and highlighting moments that look like problems, and then looking together at how it actually became invitations for God to work and for Paul and other people to work alongside of him. Well, that was my plan all week, and so that's what I've been planning all week long. But see, there was something just inside of me; I just didn't sense that was really the direction. And so I just kept praying about it, and And towards the end of the week, I sensed God wanted me to share something different. And so Wednesday, March 24th, marks the 30th anniversary of the first worship service of New Song Community Church. 30 years. I can't believe people put up with me that long. 30 years ago, in Fort Couch Middle School, we met. And what I sensed was God wanted me to share. Some of you were there the very beginning, the very first service you were there. Some of you have come more recently. But what I sensed was God wanted us not just to go down memory lane, but to look back and see some moments when he was giving invitations to experience him so that he receives honor and glory. And so that's what we're going to do. In your outline, and again, this is not about me. It's not about people. It's about all that God has done. It's all that God has done. So New Song Church is a history of accepting God's invitations. Number one, the realities of God's invitations. And this is the kind of the foundation. Everything that God does is all about glory for himself and our best good. Everything that God does, from the beginning of Genesis to the end of the book of Revelation, it's all about God getting glory, God getting credit, God getting honor that he is due, and our best good. In the beginning, it was God. And he's God. He's all-powerful. He's almighty. He is God. And we're not. As God decided he would create beings because he wanted creatures who he could love and pour out his goodness on and who would love him back and then work alongside in his creation. And that's, in the very beginning, that's what he determined that he would do. Now, when we say everything that God does is about glory for himself, some people would say that seems selfish. I mean, God just wants his people to worship him and honor him because he's selfish. And no, he's God, right? So God, as God, he deserves that because he's Almighty God. But here's where the Christian religion is different from any other system in all of mankind. That when we worship him, he becomes all about us. When we align and when we do life the way that he designed it from the very beginning, he turns around and he is all about us. Every other religion, it's all about worshiping that God, giving that God, sacrificing that God because that God deserves it. Just try to keep the God off of your back and maybe he would do something nice for you. But when we worship Almighty God who loves us with an undying love, a love that is indescribable, he turns around and he says, I'm going to pour everything out on you. I have designed you so that when you give me honor and glory and you worship me and you put me first and you surrender and listen and obey, when you do those things, I will pour out an abundant life on you that you can't even imagine. That's the God that we serve. And so it's all about giving him glory. So it's kind of selfish on our part to worship God. It's not really selfish, but it's in our best interest. When I go around the country and speak, and I think I've told you this before, but one of my early messages, you know, when I'm speaking multiple times, will be, repeat after me. It's not about you. It's about you serving God and others. And then then I talk about that, and then I come back with this. But when we are all about God, God is all about us. You see, it is in our best interest. And so to accept God's invitations means that we walk in step by trusting and obeying. So Christ followers do not have problems. They receive invitations from God. How? By trusting and obeying and walking in step with him. Romans 8, 26 to 28. Open your Bibles there. Romans chapter 8, 26 to 28. This is one of our scripture readings, prayers, earlier today, but I wanted to come back to it to hear what God does. When we trust and obey, when we're walking in step with him, listen to what he does. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 to 28. He says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. That's why we ask God, what do you want me to pray for? But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. When we're walking in step with him, God is all about us. And so in those times when you say, God, I don't even know what to pray for, that he sends the Holy Spirit and says, you know what? I know exactly what you need. I know what you're feeling so deep in your soul, you can't even identify it. I know what those tears mean when you're crying them. I know what your hopes and desires mean, even when you don't understand them. And so the Holy Spirit comes and he takes that and he interprets what we need most and he takes it to the Father. The Spirit himself intercedes for us. And he who searches our hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints. Saint is Christian according to the will of God. He is praying for you. When you are turning to God and when you're trusting, you're obeying, you're trying to walk in step with, he is all about you. And we know, verse 28, and we know for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. That's the invitation. Everything that happens in your life is not a problem. It's an invitation to experience the presence of God and the work of God as you walk in step with him. And all you have to do is trust and obey. You turn to him. God, I don't even know what to pray. No problem. I got the Holy Spirit there. He'll take over from here. Why? Because Almighty God, who is the God of the universe, who is all powerful, is all loving, and he's working together for your good. So to accept God's invitation is to simply walk in step by trusting and obeying. It's not hard to understand that, but it's very difficult to implement it. Right? Every day, walking a step with him. It's also to live for his purposes of glorifying God and changing lives. Glorifying God and changing life. Glorifying God just simply means to point to God, to give all the credit to God, to give all the praise to God, to recognize that God is everything. He is, and he's all about us. Glorify God and change lives. God created us because he wants us to live in relationship with him. And because of sin, our lives are turned upside down. And the world has been turned upside down. And so God's purpose from that moment when Adam and Eve sinned has been to transform lives back to what he created them to be. And the reason, once you accept Christ as Savior, the reason he leaves you here and just doesn't beam you up to heaven is because he wants you to come alongside of him and be used by you to change lives, transforming people from lost from God to found by God and then becoming more and more like Jesus all the time. And so, March 24th, 1991, was the very first worship service at New Song Community Church. And from that moment, the mantra, the motto has been, New Song Community Church is all about changed lives. And back years ago, it was like people got sick to death of me saying, New Song Community Church is about change lives. All he talks about is change lives. That's what it's all about. And so we met on that date. We had, and I'll talk a little bit more about it in a moment, but we had probably 160 people from the community and another 40 people that came to hell from all over the place. And that moment, there were people who came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior for the first time. Over the next 6 months, it just gathered and gathered and gathered. That fall, we started a discipleship class. And that, and then the following spring, was it February 23rd. So 11 months later, we had a baptism service, and all these people were baptized. They've gone, changed lives. It's all about glorifying God. It's about changed lives. You recognize anybody there? Probably not, because even if they're there, they don't look the same. But we do. We do. We got Susan's in there, and yeah, her husband. Yep. Who else we got in there? Oh, we got Shannon's mom and grandma's there. Denise and Kevin Stifler. Yep. And then there are other people who had already been baptized, didn't need to be baptized, that had gone through all that discipleship, because it's all about changed lives. It's all, look at me. It's all about changed lives. New Song Community Church is not about an organization. It's not about a building. It's not about fellowship. It's not about activities. It's not about programs. It's not about Bible studies. It's about God transforming people's lives from the very beginning. And if we want to, and so accepting Jesus' invitations, when we have problems and we transform our understanding of seeing those problems as this is God's invitation to experience him, but also to work alongside of him, it's so that people's lives can be changed. That's one of the things that we see in the Voice of the Martyrs testimonies. And if you're reading Jesus Freaks or any of those books, or if you saw the videos, the reason God allowed those people to go to prison is so that the guards, the people that were beating them, the other prisoners could see Jesus and have their lives changed. It wasn't a problem. It was an invitation for God to use those people. So in the history of New Song Church, when we have come against what we thought were problems, as I look back over those 30 years, they were actually invitations to allow God to work. Turn your Bible to John chapter 14, beginning with verse 15. I am going to have trouble getting through this. I know that surprises you. But 30 years is a long time of experiencing God changing lives. John chapter 14, beginning with verse 15. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Trust and obey. If you love me, if you truly trust me, then you will trust and obey. You will live in obedience to my commandments. And I will ask the Father, he will give you another helper to be with you forever. I will give you my Holy Spirit that in the Old Testament people didn't have. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. The very presence of God, the very Spirit of Jesus, will live within you to fill the God-shaped hole that was created when Adam and Eve sinned. It says, these things I've, and jump down to verse 25. These things I've spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. In other words, when you face a problem, he will show you what to do to make it an invitation, to lean into him, to trust him, to obey him, to allow him to use it. So you will reframe it. Instead of complaining about it, you'll go, okay, this is going to be good. This is going to be good. Feels awful because I'm facing this problem. But this is going to be good. He will teach you all things, bring to remembrance all the things that Jesus has said. And so to accept the invitation is to reframe it, to allow the Holy Spirit to really be in charge as we trust and obey. We trust and obey. So that's kind of the foundation of what we need to do. The realities of the invitation is everything is about glorifying God and for our best good. We accept his invitations by trusting and obeying, and by living for his purposes of glorifying him and changing lives. Number two, here are a few new song moments that look at me, because this is not about me. And sometimes I say that and people go, oh, that just shows you how humble you are. No, I'm not a hero. I am not a hero. I am simply someone who, as long as I can remember, just tried to say yes to God. That's it. And God could have used a donkey if he wanted to. It's just about saying yes to God. And so I want these moments to bring glory to God and see how he's changed lives. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. It's all about being all about God. Amen. And so in the beginning, here is where my heart was. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. I plead with you to give yourself fully to me, which is your spiritual act of worship. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So the beginning, in the fall of 1989, there was a restlessness in my spirit. There was a move in the Church of God to plant churches, to reach more people for Christ. And I had watched some of my friends did that, and I thought, boy, that's really brave of them. And then the fall of 1989, there was a restlessness within me. In December of 1989, our youngest son was born. So we had four children, seven and under, with a newborn. January, February, that restlessness turned into, I sense God saying, I want you to go to Pittsburgh and plant a church. And I didn't know anything about church planting. I didn't know that much about Pittsburgh. I was a pastor for 6 years in Beaver, Pennsylvania. I would come to Pittsburgh once in a while to go to a ball game or to a hospital, and that's about all I knew about Pittsburgh. But I discovered that there were no Church of God congregations in the suburbs, on the west and south suburbs. I came down with a friend, just started driving around, and when we got to the South Hills, I sensed that that's where God wanted us to plant the church. I went back and said, Sheila, I can't explain this. I don't know why, but I sense God wants us to move to the South Hills of Pittsburgh to plant a church. And Sheila, looking at our 2.5-month-old son, says, what are you? Are you crazy? I said, probably. I said, just pray about it. She said, I am not praying. That's a true story. Because in the history, she knew how this works. That God puts it on my heart. She starts praying about it. God puts it on her heart. She said, I'm not praying about it. I just kept praying about it, thinking about it, and God just kept putting it on my mind, putting it on my heart, and I investigated a little bit more, and I went back to Sheila. I said, you praying about it? She said, yeah, I prayed about it. I said, well, she said, I'm not listening. I said, okay. So I went to the Church of God, and they have this part of their organization that we contribute to is to plant churches, is to start new churches. And so I went to them. I said, what do you think? Here's what I sense God saying. And they helped me investigate a little bit, and they said, okay, we think God has his hand on you. And so I went back to Sheila. I said, well, are you listening? She goes, yeah. I said, we're going to plant a church. Yeah. And so we started moving that direction. Now, understand, we were in a church in Beaver, Pennsylvania that God had turned around. And it was in a wonderful... We had gone through some conflict, and God had just healed all kinds of stuff, and so many good things were happening. It was hard to leave, but we left because God told us to leave. We didn't have any, and so Sheila started asking all these unspiritual questions. Where are we going to live? I don't know. God will provide. See, I'm over here. I'm the visionary. You know, I'm just a big, Sheila's the detail person going, I got four kids. Where are we going? I don't know. God will provide. Where are we going to get money? I don't know. God will provide. Where are our kids going to go to school? I don't know. God will provide. You know, all these unspiritual questions that she was asking. And so we ended up moving in with her sister in Greensburg for a few months while we kind of got settled and we laid the foundation for it. And so this is how New Song started. We had nobody, and we didn't have a place to live. We didn't have anybody as a core group. It was just us, dropped parachuting in to the South Hills of Pittsburgh. Why? Some people thought I was nuts. For me, it was just simply saying, trust and obey. I don't know what God is up to. All I know is I just have to say yes. And God provided. God provided. So we moved in with Sheila's sister. Eventually, in November, we bought a house in Castle Shannon. We moved in there. And then God began to give us some direction. That was the beginning. And I look back 30-plus years later and think, to God be the glory. It wasn't about me. It was about God. It looked like a problem. Where are we going to live? That looks like a problem. It was actually an invitation. How are we going to get the finances? That looks like a problem. But it was actually an invitation. Well, we got to keep moving. Finances. Accepting God's invitation to provide. Philippians chapter 4, verses 19 to 20. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Look at that verse. My God will supply, what's the next word? Every need. When we're walking in step with him. He won't provide every need if you're walking against him. But when you're walking in step, he will provide every need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To God and Father be the glory. There it is again. To him be the credit. When he provides your need, it's not primarily about you. It's primarily about God, who then is all about you. Got it? And so Sheila asked that question. Where's the money going to come from? Church of God in Western Pennsylvania provided my salary. We didn't have any, but we had to raise our own starting money, which was going to come to over $20,000. So I started writing letters to everybody that I knew, you know, family, friends. They supported from all over the country. People supported us. Other congregations supported us that I had relationships with. But when we started, we used a telemarketing campaign, which cost us thousands of dollars. We sent thousands of mailings out. And so as we were going along with this, I was putting thousands of dollars on my personal credit card that I didn't know how I was going to pay for. But I go, God, I know that you want this, so there it is. And so the money started coming in. We got to the last week, so March 17th, 1991, we actually met at the Fort Couch Middle School, and we had a rehearsal service. By then, a few people had gathered with us to be a core group. We had a rehearsal service, and at that point, we were about $1,000 short. The money had come in and paid for like $17,000 worth of startup costs, but we were still $1,000 in the red. So more money came in as the week went on. We were getting together with the other people in the core group, and it was trickling in. On March 23rd, go ahead and put the picture up there. Sherm Houston was a guy I'd only met a couple of times. I went to, he was, when I was growing up in the Maiden Lane Church of God in Springfield, Ohio, he was a heathen. We prayed for him. We prayed for my dad. I was friends with his kids, but he was a drunk. He was an alcoholic. He was a heathen. But after I went to college, he got saved. And he began to follow God passionately, and he became a millionaire. He had this tool and die shop, and it just kept expanding. And I had only met him once or twice. But he found out what we were doing through my mom and dad. And I got a check. Never sent him I don't think I even sent him any information or anything. But on Saturday, March 23rd, We were about $475 still in the hole. On Saturday, March 23rd, in the mail, we got a check from Sherm Houston for $500. So that I could go to the worship service and tell our core group the next day, my God has supplied every need before the first service. To God be the glory, right? Could have got that check on Monday, but God wanted to show how faithful he was. Finances. When you have problems financially, it's an invitation to experience God and work alongside of him. Resources. Accepting God's invitation to provide places. So way back in 1990, it used to be the answer, people answered their telephone. That's not true anymore. My telephone, I looked to see unknown caller. Nope. But back in those days, telemarketing actually worked. So we did a telemarketing campaign. We were planning to do it where we would call people up and say, hey, we're just calling some people in the neighborhood. I made 5,000 calls myself. And we're calling people in our neighborhood wondering if you have a church home, and if not, can we send you some information? We made all those calls. But where were we going to make the calls from? We don't have any place. And so I met with, there was a pastor in Greenfield over towards Squirrel Hill. There was a Church of God congregation over there. And I just met with him and said, hey, I'm coming to the South Hills. I feel like God wants me to plant a church. Got to know each other. And he said, well, how are you going to do it? We're going to make phone calls. Well, where are you going to make the phone calls from? I don't know. He says, make them from here. So we spent weeks, put in a bank of telephones, and God provided the place to make those phone calls. It was the end of December. We still didn't know where we were going to meet. We were about to print up our invitations to the first service, but we didn't know where we were going to invite people to. I found out that there was a family in the South Hills who had roots in the Church of God in Reimersburg, Pennsylvania, named Ken and Barb Lauren. And I called him up and I got their information. I said, you don't know me. He said, yes, we do. We heard you were planting the church down here, and we didn't want anything to do with it. I said, well, let me just come and talk with you. So I went and talked with them, explained what we were doing. And they started asking these unspiritual questions, too, like, where were you going to meet? I said, I don't know. I'm praying. Because I'd talked to all kinds of different schools in the area, and nobody wanted to let us in. And Ken said, well, I was just reading in the Almanac. You know what the Almanac is? I was just reading the Almanac, and they have either just built or remodeled Fort Couch Middle School. And they're looking for people to come in and rent. And I said, I didn't even know about that school. I called them up, and it turns out Upper St. Clair was on the kind of the cutting edge of understanding the equal access ruling by the Supreme Court that they had to let churches rent if they let other people rent. And so they welcomed us with open arms. And so I know, I got tape. So for 15 years and 9 months, we met at the Fort Couch Middle School, mostly. Doesn't look like that anymore, but they had just remodeled. They had this multipurpose room, and the janitor secretly let us keep stuff in these little nooks and crannies that were there. And for 15 years, we had a great relationship, and some of those janitors heard about Christ. Some of them would kind of, they weren't supposed to be in with us, but they would stand at the door and they would listen. And we built these great relationships with them. God provided. To God be the glory. Right? To God be the glory. So resources. And then people. It's all about people. And so all along the way, so we came in, knew nobody, but we got Ken and Barb's name. So I sat down with them that December, and I said, just pray about it. Just pray about it, because they didn't want any part of planting the church. And I got a call after the first of the year, and they said, doggone it, we prayed about it, and we believe that God wants us to be a part of this thing. I said, just give me 6 months, and then you can go back. They were part of a great church before that. And after 6 months, I asked them, you leaving? They said, well, they smiled. They said, we didn't think you'd ask. I said, no, we believe God wants us here. So for 30 years, they've been part of New Song Church. All along the way, God has provided people. John chapter 12, verse 32 says, when I am lifted up, Jesus says, when I am lifted up from the earth, when I am lifted up to the cross, when I go to the cross, I will draw all people to myself. It's always been about Jesus. It's never been about getting a church started. It's always been about Jesus. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18, but as it is, God arranges the members in the body, each of them as he chooses. And so what we've seen over the 30 years, we've had people come in and out. We've had people's lives be changed. And the three, I like memory tools. And so the three areas where I constantly pray that God would bring us into touch with or bring into the congregation are lost, lonely, and leaders. Here's what I mean by that. And I put leaders first because that's really what started. Leaders are people who already know Christ, who have gifts and abilities that God wants to bring into the body of New Song to make the body functional. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's God who arranged the members of the body. And so when people come here, oftentimes who are Christians, and maybe they're coming from a different church, usually the conversation goes like this. If this is where God wants you, then this is where we want you. But you're a Christian, so it's not about leading you to Christ. But if God wants you to be a part of another congregation, he knows that that body needs you. And so the people who come in, and over the history of New Song, we've watched God bring at different phases in the life of our congregation the people that needed to be a part of the body in order to accomplish God's purposes. Because it's about changed lives. It is about changed lives. So leaders are the people who already know Christ, bring them in. So we ended up with a core group of Ken and Barb Lorne and their family, and then a single guy who also had roots. But then we also had people from the congregation I pastored in Beaver who came down and volunteered for 6 or 8 weeks to teach kids' classes, to usher. I mean, just think about this. We're having a worship service. We've made all these phone calls. We've got all these promises, and we end up with 160 people from the community. And then we had 40 people who were coming from different congregations to help out because we didn't even have an usher. We didn't have a Pete standing at the front door. We didn't have anybody to hand out programs. We didn't have anybody to take the offering because Barb and Sheila and I were the worship team. Ken and the other guy were on the soundboard. Those are the only 5 adults we had. And so we had people from other congregations that were helping us. And then very quickly, people jumped in and they helped and they made the body what it was all along the way for 30 years. To God be the glory. I still pray for that. The people who are, and so lost people are people who don't know Christ. People who don't have relationships. They might have religion. And some of you were those people. And somehow, God brought you into this body of people, and you found out what it means to have a relationship with Christ. And now you're growing in that. Lonely people are people who know Christ, but they don't have a church home. And they need a church home. Or they're a part of a church that's all about religion, and they don't preach the Bible. I have no problem taking people out of those kind of organizations. Amen. And then the leaders are the people. So, did I have a picture for this one? No, I don't have a picture for this one. So all along the way, if you are here now, to God be the glory. And each one of you have a story of how in the world you ever got connected with New Song. Some of you through a website, some of you through a friend, some of you were driving by and you saw that, some of you, because God puts the members in the body as he sees fit. Number three, to accept God's invitation is to listen and to walk in step and circle that all the way. All the way to the end. So 30 years is not the finish line. 30 years is just, that's how many years it's been. And the Bible talks a lot, especially the New Testament, talks a lot about enduring to the end. Finishing well. Keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and pressing on towards the goal. And because, so over those 30 years, I've watched many, I don't know how many, but a lot of churches be planted, exist for a while, and die. Churches who got a whole lot bigger than we ever did and plummeted. Because of somebody got off track, immorality happened, conflict happened, whatever happened. It's not about programs. It's not about finances. It's not about numbers. It's about giving glory to God, and it's about changed lives. And so it's finishing all the way till the end. We have to be about changed lives, regardless of what else we do or how we do it. Philippians 1:6 says, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." He who began a good work. We experience that when we are all about Jesus. If we get off track, we don't experience that. It's about him doing the work that he wants to do in us and through us. Problems are not problems. They're invitations to experience Christ and for him to come alongside, and for us to come alongside of him doing the work that he wants to do. There have been a lot of people who have said that have been a part of this congregation, who have been in other parts of the country. They said, "Herb, we don't understand. You are a gifted leader. You are a good speaker. And we don't understand why New Song has never gotten bigger than it is." And my response is, me neither. And it used to bother me. Because I have mentored pastors whose church has exploded. And I've been instrumental in them experiencing success, but I've also watched some of the negative parts of that as well. But here's what I go back to. Probably, I don't know, it may have been before we even moved in here. So we were at the Four Couch Middle School for 15 years and 9 months. We were talking about it a little bit beforehand. We've been here 15 years and 3 months. And I think it was before we even moved in here. I think it was during a time of prayer and fasting, and God told me what I put it in your outline. New Song will not, actually never, be a typical American church. And I didn't understand what that meant back then. I'm beginning to get a clue. Because of the days that we're living in, I think what we're going to see more and more is the typical American churches that are all about programs and felt needs and, you know, what makes people happy are going to struggle to survive. The groups of people that will stay strong, I think, are going to be smaller groups of people who are all about Jesus, who are all about reverence for God rather than trying to be relevant in a culture. And in the days that we're living, things are changing. Things are never going to be the way that they were before. Church ministry. There are a lot of pastors who have said, as soon as whatever this COVID thing is done, I quit. They're getting burned out because they're trying to do programs instead of seeking Jesus. So New Song, and another thing that I've heard more recently is New Song has to be about making disciples, not doing church. has to be about doing disciples. So what you're hearing about the learning communities that we want to start and, you know, other kinds of things to help people really solidify their relationship with Christ and have, and then have a, an experiences where you can invite your friends and say, I don't know if you'll like the music, I don't know if you'll like the preacher, but one thing you will discover is you'll hear about Jesus. Amen. And you're looking for Jesus, you can find him at New Song. Regardless of anything else, you can find him here. So I don't know what the future is going to be. I don't know, you know, I doubt that I'll be around 30 years from now. I'd be in my 90s, who knows, maybe. You might get tired of me and say, give us somebody else. Let Luke take over or something. I don't know when Jesus is coming back. It could be soon. All the craziness and the stupidity that's going on. I don't know what's coming. But here's what I do know. Jesus wins. Amen. And as we keep our focus continually on giving glory to God and changing lives, walking in step by trusting and obeying, loving each other, caring about each other, and helping each other know Jesus, iron sharpened iron relationships, as we do that, we'll be ready whenever he comes. And that's all that matters. So 30 years is not, you know, I think in this new reality and my new deeper understanding of what it really means to be church and follow Christ, it's not about having a party because we're 30 years old. It's about saying, look at what God has done. And I can't believe he's put up with me. Because all of the, I'm telling you, this stuff, whatever good has happened with New Song, it's more in spite of me than because of me. It's only Christ in, it's only Christ flowing through. It's not us. And I'm just grateful to be a part of it. You know how rare it is for a pastor to be anywhere for 30 years? Hardly ever. And people say, why have you stayed so long? It's because God just never told me to go anywhere else. You know, that's honestly, that's all it is. To God be the glory. Let's bow our heads. God, we give you glory. We give you honor and praise for all the lives that you have changed over these 30 years, for the marriages that you have saved, for the people that you have rescued, for the friendships that you've blessed us with, for the support and encouragement that we've experienced as a part of this family. For the eternal difference that you've made. Lord, for the kids that have grown up and gone on to serve you. Lord, what an honor it is to work alongside you. I pray that whatever comes in the future, you would cause us to be more and more and more the body of Christ, but even more so the army of Christ as New Song Church. I pray for each one of these folks that you would take my words today and you would give them deeper inspiration, encouragement, commitment, focus, determination to follow you no matter what. Lord, we thank you for all that you are and all that you do. Now, I pray, whatever you have in store for us, help us to hear you clearly. Lord, I pray that you would use the week of prayer and fasting to speak loudly to us. All that we need to hear, all that we need to understand, God, speak to us. Let us hear your voice. Let us see where you're leading us and just walk in your footsteps. And so we give you thanks. We give you praise. We give you glory for all that you are and all that you do. Thank you for the privilege of being a part of what you've done. In the name of Jesus, we pray.